Welcome to Reaching Out to the Community. I'm Derek Bullard, and today we have Dennis Kastoris, Executive Director of the Townshippers Association, with us to discuss some pressing issues facing the English-speaking community in the Eastern Townships. Dennis stepped into his role as Executive Director in March of 2024 and has been working to support the English-speaking population in the townships. He explains that the association's mission is to foster services in healthcare, social services, economic development, and employment strategies, helping to ensure that the community maintains a strong presence in the region.
My name is Dennis Kastoris. I'm the executive director of the Townshippers Association. I was appointed to the position back in March of 24. Townshippers is an organization that's dedicated to the well-being of the English-speaking community, the townships. Our role is not only to foster services in the healthcare system, but also offer support in terms of social services, economic and employment strategy, as well as any other aspect of that the community needs in terms of maintaining a strong presence within the network of the Eastern Townships.
Recently, in the media, there has been some discussion around the decline in the English-speaking population, highlighted by a Concordia University study. Our guest acknowledges that study and the decline in the English-speaking population, but points out that it's not as severe as it might appear.
We've noticed the decline. The same factors that are affecting the English community are affecting the community in general in the Eastern Townships as a whole. The only difference between the English community and the rest of the community is the way that those numbers are reported in reference to new immigrants. Those are numbers that do not get added up into the English community because they're seen as not the traditional people of the English community. They're seen as new immigrants, and they're classified differently under all the different programs and statistical analysis.
Mr. Kotsouris explains that the aging population and out-migration of young people are the two biggest issues. This leads to a reduced entrepreneurial pool and a lack of investment opportunities for younger people. The focus is now on creating grassroots opportunities to keep the youth engaged and invested in the community.
Well, the decline is problematic. The biggest issues that are affecting that decline are the age median is increasing in the community. The exodus of the youth is also affecting our community. And those are the two major factors. And they create other situations that exacerbate the problem as well. So with the increase in the age median comes the decrease in the entrepreneurial pool, not only in terms of funds, but people actually being able to buy. And that's not creating opportunity for the youth to stay. Therefore, they're moving out. The seniors, the people that are above that age, 55 age group and up, they're not interested in investing in new companies. They're interested in investing in their retirement. So that's the main issues that we're facing right now. And we're tackling them from not only an employment strategy, but in various different ways to create what we're calling grassroots opportunities, and that's been our focus since I came on board.
Our guest, Mr. Dennis, clarifies what he means by grassroots opportunities and how the association is not aiming to attract large corporations, but rather to support local businesses such as restaurants and small shops.
Yeah, so we're not talking about bringing in large organizations trying to attract the Amazons of the world and things of that nature, like the headlines grabbing stuff. That's not our role. That's the role for the Chambre de Commerce, the Chambre Book, and other organizations, the economic programs of the nation. Our role really is to help support English-speaking groups that are developing restaurants, that are developing small businesses, and trying to get funding for them in order to expand their businesses. And by that, way we're doing or trying to approach this is through development of tourism as a first step. So in other words, developing events and things of that nature where you're increasing the requirements of restaurants to have more staff, hotels having more staff and all the ancillary services that go along with those types of festivals.
Now, according to our guest, while the Townshippers Association has a particular focus on supporting the English-speaking community, the funding isn't restricted solely to them. The goal is to create opportunities for anyone who can contribute to the economic growth of the region. It's about fostering an environment that helps retain young people and create long-term job opportunities.
It's not just any English person that's seeking an opportunity. It's anybody seeking an opportunity. Obviously, our focus is on the English community, so we're going to pay attention to that more than anything else. But it's really got to do with the fact that you're trying to create an opportunity within a landscape that is ever-changing. We try to avoid saying solely for English-speaking, because that's not necessarily the reality of the world that we live in today here in the townships. So what we're trying to say is that this is supporting the English community's requirements in terms of having opportunities in order to attract youth to come in and to keep our youth here. And we have other programs as well that really do focus on things like that. Our Rooted in the Townships program for high school students, where we put on basically a job fair and give them an opportunity to talk with professionals in the region and in terms of types of jobs that they might be interested in. And they're not just focused university degrees, but they're also focused on the vocational trades as well.
Shifting to the political side, our guest acknowledges that earlier this year there was significant anxiety about healthcare services and language rights. However, after the government revised some of its directives, things have calmed down and there is now more clarity and a stronger focus on ensuring service delivery.
I would say to you that that question was more pertinent back in the summer, and it was more towards the anxiety that was created, and it was created by not just the government, but the English-speaking groups also didn't get their act together in time. So when I came on board, I believe it or not, I actually didn't want to get involved in the politics, but over the summer I got involved in it deep and heavy. And what we realized was that patience plays a large part in all of these things that happen. And what the government did at the beginning in terms of the administrative directive was a misstep. I think they recognized that because of their actions later on. But it created anxiety for our community, and we had to deal with that. I don't think it was seen as trampling on rights. It was seen more as what's going to happen, what's happening. And those questions were actually very valid, because the administrative directives were contradictory towards themselves. So it was a great opportunity for us to kind of sit down and do an analysis of what we do ourselves, not just in the townships, but within the context of the whole province, and also to rekindle our relationships with our political leaders, which we've done extensively. And what we found was that it's a question of communication. They weren't communicating with us, we weren't communicating with them. But when we did communicate with each other, we all understood that these are problems of service, not necessarily language. And when that was brought up, the administrative directives were the new ones that came out are a reflection of that, that they are strictly based on service. And service is enshrined for the English language in the Health Care Act, not only in Canada, but also within the Health Care Act, I think it's 1992, of the province. So all of that to say was that, yes, the anxiety was there. It's now dissipated. The administrative directives are much more clearer, much more in line with what the laws say and do, and the promises that have been made. So we feel that opportunity to better ourselves was presented to us through the missteps that happened in the past. Now that we're acting on it, we're feeling very comfortable about our role. And in all honesty, I have not met anybody in the government that has any kind of ill will towards the English community. I think they do understand that there was a misstep that was taken and that it had to be rectified, and it was done so in short order. And I'm quite happy with what the result was. And then that's not to say that was us alone. That was a bunch of groups working together to develop develop a viable understanding for the government to be able to act.
And lastly, we asked our guest, Mr. Katsouris, if with the growing number of immigrants in the region, if the Townshippers Association noticed an increase in bilingualism, particularly among younger people.
Well, very much so. The youth, I just was looking at a study from the Government of Canada that was published back in 2023, and the increase between 2000 and 2021, which is the last census data report, was astronomical in terms of bilingualism, not only from English to French, but in French to English as well, too. So it's not just our community, it's the entire Estrie community working more and more from a bilingual perspective. And we have programs that are designed to foster that. So we talk about how healthcare is a question of service. The CS here has identified that they don't have enough people that are comfortable enough in the English language in order to offer services. So we have programs that we're funding to help support the training. So we have the IMI program, where it's the Inclusive Mentorship Initiative, where we're training English-speaking students in the healthcare system to feel more comfortable and more self-assured when they speak French within the context of healthcare. And we've just applied for more funding to do the exact opposite, to work with Francophones within these units and give them a better better strength in terms of speaking the English language to their clientele. So what's driving all of this isn't a question of language, it's a question of service. And I think that's a very good position for the CIUS in this region, and I'd be a model for all the CIUSs around the province.
Yeah.
And we're actually we're looking at expanding that into community organizations. So we've gotten a request from another department of the CIUS that wants to increase the strengths of services in English to other organizations. We applied for an enabling fund, which is an employment strategy through Canadian Heritage, and it's exactly designed for that, increasing English services within the employment sphere so that people can actually ask for services in English and get them in English and be able to act on that. So, again, it's a position of service, it's not a position of language, and I think that's a good model for us to kind of continue and move forward with. And not that it's unique in the townships, but it is very much advanced in other regions in the province, that's for sure.
We want to thank Mr. Dennis Katsouris, Executive Director of the Townshippers Association, for coming on the show and explaining how the organization is creating pathways for both current and future generations to succeed. It's clear that the Townshippers Association is focused on making sure everyone has a fair shot at contributing to the community's growth. To learn more about the Townshippers Association and the support they offer, you can visit their website at townshippers.org. For CJMQNews.com, I'm Derek Bullard. Keep that FM dial tuned right here to CJMQ 88.9 FM.